this morning to turn to the 27th Psalm and also the 40th Psalm. Psalm 27 and also Psalm 40. Both Psalms of David. I'd like to read verse 5 of Psalm 27. David says, "For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock." And then in Psalm 40, I'd like to read verses 1 through 3. Again, the words of David, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it, and fear, and shall trust in the Lord." In both of these passages, David speaks of a rock. And in both of these passages, David speaks of being set or fixed upon a rock by the Lord. The word rock here refers to a high cliff, conveys the idea of strength, the idea of stability. Bildad said, asked Job in Job 18 and verse 4, he said, "Shall the rock be removed out of his place?" A rock conveys the idea not only of strength and stability, but also of durability. Here, speaking of a high cliff, it conveys the idea of elevation. It's something that towers above man, something that serves as a landmark. And we need to thank the Lord that there is a rock, that there is a rock higher than you and I. David prayed in Psalm 61 and verse 2, "Lead me to the rock that is higher than I." In both of these passages that we've read for our text, David speaks of the results of being set upon a rock. One of the results of being set upon a rock in Psalm 27 and verse 5 is safety. We see there that this rock provides us with the safety we need in time of trouble. "He shall hide me in his pavilion, and the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock." There's safety. So one of the results is about upon being fixed upon a rock is that we're safe. The rock's a safe place. Also, another result of being set upon the rock is optimism. We see in Psalm 27 and verse 6, after saying, "He shall set me upon a rock," he states, "And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies." He's optimistic. He's optimistic about the future. He's optimistic about victory. He's optimistic about victory over his enemies. And this is a result of being set upon the rock. Another result of being set upon a rock, of course, is firm footing. In Psalm 40, we see that it is the opposite of the horrible pit and the miry clay. We see the Lord has brought us out of that horrible pit and brought us out of the miry clay, where there is no firm standing, where one slips and slides, and the more they try and the more they struggle, the deeper they sink. So a rock is a place of firm footing. We see also another result of being set upon a rock is there is direction in our life. We read there in Psalm 40 and verse 2 that our feet are set upon the rock, and he established my goings. And he established my goings. In other words, there was direction in his life. And another result of being set upon the rock is freshness. In verse 3, he says, he hath put a new song in the mouth. And the word new simply means a fresh song, a lively song, a vigorous song. And it's the opposite of that which is stale. It's the opposite of that which is spoiled. It's the opposite of that which is faded and worn. So being set upon the rock, there's freshness. There's not that which is stale. There's not that which is spoiled and faded and worn, but everything's fresh upon this rock. And another result of being set upon the rock is when we're set upon the rock, we have a willingness to offer unto God. And we see that in verse 6, therefore will I offer, of Psalm 27, he said, therefore will I offer in his tabernacle songs or sacrifices of joy. And another result of being set upon the rock is joy and praise. Again, he said there in Psalm 27, 6, I will sing. Yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. And in Psalm 40, in verse 3, and he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. So from all of this, we see that it is easy to see that being set upon a rock makes a great difference in one's life. Certainly people ought to be able to see the difference between the horrible pit, the miry clay, and a rock. There's a difference. And if our life is set upon a rock, there's going to be a difference in our life. And we thank God today that in this world where so many wander aimlessly, in fact, most of the world, many of God's people wander aimlessly. But in such a world, God has provided some high cliffs. Some high cliffs where we can have firm footing. Some high cliffs where you and I can have direction in our life. Thank God that in a world where there is so much restlessness, so much unsettledness, in a world of shifting sands, God has provided some high cliffs, of strength, some high cliffs of stability. And we need to thank God also that in a world surrounded with dangers, in a world surrounded with pitfalls, in a world surrounded with temptations, God has provided some high cliffs where the child of God can find safety. And in this world where it is filled with trouble, filled with distress, filled with difficulty and hardships and where there's so much strain and there's so much stress and so much misery and so much suffering and so much pain and so many afflictions, God has provided some high cliffs, places of elevation, where the child of God can live above it all. We thank God that as children of God, we don't have to live in the horrible pit. We don't have to live in the miry clay. We don't have to live in the dark dungeons of this world. We don't have to live in the slimy mud and the sludge that we formerly lived in. We don't have to live there because we've been brought from those things and our feet have been set upon a rock. And we need to live upon that rock. God has provided high cliffs all around. We need to be set in these places that God has provided. So we thank God that we do not have to live in the realm of instability. God has provided some high cliffs for which we can set our lives. So I want to speak this morning upon this rock I stand. There are a lot of rocks that God has provided for us. We want to just mention a few, very basic rocks upon which you and I, as children of God, can stand. We need to stand somewhere. We have to stand somewhere. And there's no better place to stand than upon the rocks of God's providing. We see there is the rock of the greatness of God, and that is a high cliff. That is a high mountain. The very fact that God goes beyond all, the very fact that God excels all, that's a rock upon which you and I can stand. That God is larger than anything in your life. God is bigger than anything in your life. God is greater than anything in your life. He's larger, he's bigger, he's greater than any obstacle in your life. It's good to know that. It's good to stand there. It's a good rock to stand upon. That God is bigger than any need I have. That God is bigger than anything in my life. That God is greater. That God is bigger. That he's larger than any persecution. He's greater than any problem. He's greater than any need. He's greater than any danger. He's bigger than any temptation. He's bigger than any distress that I might have in my life. He's bigger and greater and larger than any difficulty that you and I might have. He's greater and larger than any hardship, than any infirmity, than any situation, than any circumstance. God is greater than them all, and upon this rock we ought to stand. That is a good place to stand. Now you can, if you want to, in the midst of all your problems, in the midst of all your infirmities and troubles and difficulties and hardships, if you want to, you can be dragged down into the slime. You can be dragged down back into that horrible pit. Or you can choose to stand upon the rock of God's providing. He's greater than any enemy. He is above and over all. He is truly the supreme being. He is supreme. He is bigger. He is larger. He is greater than all. That is a good rock to stand upon. He's absolute. He's infinite. He governs the universe. He governs the universe just as he pleases. There are a lot of things that go on in this world that greatly trouble us, that greatly disturb us, that greatly concern us. But it's good to stand upon this rock that God is in control of all things and that God is governing the world just as he pleases. And that nothing is outside of his law. Nothing is outside of his nature. He's working all things after the counsel of his own will. And none can thwart, none can defeat his purpose. I'm telling you, this is a good rock to stand upon, especially in a day in which we live. God is eternal. He is infinite. It means he's perpetual. Simply means that God always is. We read in Psalm 102 in verse 27, "But thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end." He is what he is. He is what he always was, and he is what he'll always be. He is unalterably fixed in his being. And that is a good rock for you and I to stand upon. He is without change in his nature. He is without change in his will. Amidst all the shifting sands, amidst all the change that goes on in the world today, God is the same. He is always the same. In a world filled with uncertainty, he's the same. This is a good rock to be set upon. He has a perfect and eternal knowledge of all things. Nothing is beyond the knowledge of God. You know, many times people will say in a very flippant way, "Well, God knows all about it." Yes, he does. He knows all about it. And I take great comfort in that. That God knows all about everything. He knows everything that there is to be known. He knows it all. And that's a good rock to stand upon. That God knows. God knows everything about me. He knows more about you than you know about yourself. He knows everything that you'll ever go through in this life. He knows your very condition. He knows every thought that goes through your mind. He knows every thought that would go through your mind had he not prevented it from doing so. He not only knows everything that you do, he knows everything that you would do had he not stopped you from doing it. He knows. He knows everything. And that is a good rock to stand upon. He's almighty. Oh, again, this is a term. People use it all the time. Almighty God. Very few believe it. And very few give much thought to the word almighty. God is almighty. That means that God has power over everything. He has power over every place. He has power over every time. He is almighty. He is almighty. There is not anyone equal in power. He is almighty. His power is universal. And it is good to know in a world filled with impossibilities, he is a God who can. And that's a good rock to stand upon. That's a good rock to be set upon. When no one else can, God can. There's no need to get discouraged. There's no need to worry. God can. And we need to stand upon that rock. The very one who created it all. Certainly he can. The one who placed the stars in the sky. The one who placed the moon, the sun. The one who placed the solar system, the galaxies. He placed it all there by just speaking. Certainly he can. He can. Nothing is beyond the Lord. The one who took the dust of the ground and formed man. He can. God is almighty. And we need to stand upon that rock. In the midst of all difficulties, in the midst of all impossibilities, I pray that we can say, upon this rock, I stand. Upon the rock of the greatness of the Lord. Then there is the rock of the person of Jesus Christ. And we stand there. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is the Son of the Highest. He is the Son of the Most High God. He is the Son of the Living God. He said, I and my Father are one. Jesus Christ and God the Father are equal. They are one. If you've seen Jesus Christ, Jesus said to Philip, you've seen the Father. Because they are one and the same. The one who came to save sinners. Don't ever forget, he's God. He's God. And because he is God, there are no impossibilities. There are no difficulties. There are no hard cases for God. How can there be such a thing as a hard case in light of omnipotence? No such thing. Oh, there are hard cases in our minds. There are hard cases in our view. But I'm telling you, with God, there is no such thing as a hard case. There is no such thing. Has a difficulty. He does everything with ease. The one who is the one and only mediator between you and God the Father, he is God. The one who is a refuge in the storm, he is God. The one who is the master and possessor of all things, Jesus Christ, he is God. The one who saved our soul, he is God. And upon this rock we stand. We don't serve a man. We serve Jesus Christ. We serve the Son of God. And this is a rock that we we're set upon. Oh, how much different than the horrible pit. How much different than the miry clay. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, took upon himself flesh and came and lived and died in my stead. I believe that, I know that, and I stand there today. That Jesus Christ died in my place. In Jesus Christ, I stand clothed in the righteousness of God. I believe that, I know that, and that's where I stand today. That's a good rock to stand upon. In Jesus Christ, we have acceptance with God. In Jesus Christ, we have redemption. In Jesus Christ, we have justification. These are high cliffs. These are solid rocks upon which you and I can stand. In Jesus Christ, we have eternal life. In Jesus Christ, we have reconciliation. In Jesus Christ, we have peace with God. In Jesus Christ, we have fellowship with God. In Jesus Christ, we have access into the very presence of God. I'm telling you, this is a good rock to stand on, Jesus Christ. He is the Son of God. In Jesus Christ, I have victory. I have victory over sin. I have victory over Satan. I have victory over death. And I have victory over the grave. All in Jesus Christ. And we stand upon that. I'm telling you, it's better to stand in these places than it is to slip and slide in the miry clay. In the horrible pit. In Christ, I have hope. I realize today that people in the world have hope, but I'm afraid, I know it's false hope. Any hope outside of Jesus Christ is false hope. No matter how real it is to you, it's false. Just a shadow. It's refuges of lies. But I stand confident today upon the rock of Jesus Christ. And in Him, I have hope. And in Him, I am rich. I am rich. Upon this rock, we stand. In addition, the Lord has given us the high cliff for the rock of His Word. The Word of God is a rock upon which I stand. I don't want to stand anywhere else. I don't want to put my confidence anywhere else. In a world filled with confusion, and this world is confused. I mean, you listen to the so-called experts, you listen to our leaders today, and I'm telling you, they're confused. In a world filled with bewilderment, perplexity, in a world filled with puzzlement and disorder, and chaos, and turmoil, and upheaval, God has provided. God has left us His Word. One of the greatest miracles in all the world is God preserving His Word. And when I pick up the Word of God, I have in my hands a miracle. God has preserved His Word. God has left us in His Word. In a world where men grope in darkness, God has left us the light of His Word. In a world filled with the lies of the devil, God has left us the truth of His Word. You see, the Bible declares God. The Bible declares who God is. The Bible declares what God thinks. The Bible declares God's view. People are asking all the time today, what is your worldview? Your worldview needs to be based upon thus saith the Lord. That's our worldview. But who cares what your worldview is? What's God's view? What's God's view? Well, His Word tells us. And again, God cannot lie. God is incapable of lying. Any book that you pick up and read could be a lie. It could be, the writer could be mistaken. But not so, the Word of God. I can pick it up and I know that the writer has never lied. He never can lie. He's never been mistaken. And I stand upon this rock. Doesn't matter what Dr. So-and-so says. Doesn't matter what Professor So-and-so says. What does the Word of God say? Being the Word of God. And again, it's a term that we use very lightly many times without giving it much thought. The Word of God. That's what it is. Being the Word of God, it is an unfailing resource. Again, it tells me what God thinks. It reveals the living and true God. It shows the way to God. In a time where society is getting further and further and further away from God, and people can't seem to get far enough away from God, the Bible is a book that tells us the way to God. Because you see, the way to God is the solution to man's problems. The way from God is the problem. That's the problem. It is a book which is sufficient for every aspect of your life. Doesn't matter what you're going through. Doesn't matter what you're experiencing at this time. The answer is in the Word of God. If you have problems, the answer is in the Word of God. If you have difficulties, the answer is in the Word of God. If you're perplexed, if you're puzzled about things, the answer is in the Word of God. You need to believe that. But many of God's people don't believe that. And that's why they go to so many other sources. It's in the Word of God that we find joy and peace if we believe. Again, it doesn't take a great amount of intelligence. All you have to do is open your eyes and you see today people are miserable. And just watch people walk around. I mean, it's sad. They're miserable. But there is joy. And there is peace in believing God. People are miserable today because they don't believe. It is a book that God will use to sustain us in every aspect of our lives. And even though man's hatred for the Word of God has been persistent, it has been determined, and has been relentless, it continues on. You can take the scissors and you can cut it all to pieces, but it'll continue on. The message will be the same. You can say, I don't believe it, but that doesn't change it. That doesn't change it one iota. You can say, I'm not going to follow it. I don't want anything to do with it. That doesn't change it. No matter what you do with the Word of God, it remains the same. You take all the burnings and all the inquisitions and all the torture chambers, and God's book and God's message has survived it all. And it will continue to do so. Paul said in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 9, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, the word even unto bonds, but the Word of God is not bound. The Word of God is not bound. And in a day when many do not believe, and in a day when many ridicule and rebel against the Word of God, we need to stand up and say, upon this rock I stand. Upon this rock I stand. It's a sad day when we live in a society If a politician mentions the name of Jesus Christ, mentions personal faith in Jesus Christ, God's people won't vote for him. That's a sad day. And when someone, when a politician, there are not very many, mentions the Word of God and that they believe in the Word of God, they're ridiculed. They're treated as a fool. And it's a sad day when God's people fall in line with such things. We ought to proudly say, upon this rock I stand. Doesn't matter where anybody else stands upon this rock. This is where we stand. Lastly, the rock of the promises of God. God's promises are like high cliffs. We don't have time today, but you read Isaiah 43, verses 1 and 2. God promises that when we go through the fires and the rivers and the floods, he said, I'll be there. That's a promise. And that's a good rock to stand upon. The rock of the promise of God's presence. There we have the promise of his sufficiency. My grace is sufficient. That's a good rock to stand upon. That's a good high cliff that God has provided us. We have the promise of his love. We have the promise of his care. And those are, again, good rocks to stand upon. We have the promise of Romans 8:28. And that's a good rock. That's a high cliff upon which you and I can stand. And we have the promise. We have the promise of his coming. In a time when the days are perilous, just as the Lord promised, times are difficult, times are trying, they're uneasy, they're hard, they're wicked, they're violent, hard to endure, hard to bear, hard to deal with. But in the midst of it all, we have the promise. Jesus says, I will come again. In other words, there's more. There's more to it than this life. In a world where the very foundations of sanity are being removed, we have the promise of Christ's return. In a world where the very foundations of society are being removed, when the hallmarks that have always identified God's people are being replaced, we have a promise of the Lord Jesus Christ. These are rocks. These are high cliffs. These are places of elevation where you and I can stand. In a time when the world is being groomed for the rule and reign of the Antichrist, we have the promise that we're going to be delivered from this mess. And that's a good rock to stand upon. We have the promise of his return, which is the promise of victory. Again, you read 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 16 and 17. You read 1 Corinthians 15, verses 42 through 44, and also verses 51 through 57. And you and I have the promise of victory. We know how the story ends, and that's a good rock to stand upon. It sure beats the miry clay. It sure beats the horrible pit. So in closing, we live in a culture that is almost entirely humanistic. As a result, we have evolutional thinking. We have individualism and immorality everywhere. We are surrounded by filth. We are surrounded by that which is vile, that which is repulsive, that which is an abomination to the Lord, that which is blasphemy, and that which is heresy. But amidst it all, God has provided some high cliffs. God has given us some elevated places for you and I to stand upon. It is upon those rocks, it is upon those high cliffs, it is upon those elevated places that you and I find safety. It is there that we find optimism. Children of God should be optimistic, and they will be if they stand upon these rocks. It is upon these elevated places that you and I find firm footing. The world is slipping and sliding and going further and further and further into the sludge. But as a child of God, we can have firm footing. We need to be set upon a rock. In a world where so many, they have absolutely no direction in their life, God has provided some elevated places. And if you and I will stand in those elevated places, we will have direction in our life. We'll have freshness. We'll have joy. And we'll have praise. But it's in these elevated places. Just like the man who built his house upon the rock. The rains are going to come. The floods are going to come. And the winds are going to blow. Whether you build your life on the sand or whether you build your life on the rock, the rains are coming, the floods are coming, and the winds are going to blow. Nothing's going to change that. But it is upon the rock that we have stability, that we have durability. I ask you today, where are you standing? And that's an important question, because where you are standing determines your view. It determines what you see. It determines how you see it. And many of God's people today, their view, what they see, is no different than what the lost world sees. And you know why? It's because they're standing in the same place. But God has provided some elevated cliffs. If we can stand on these cliffs, things look a lot different. We see things completely different. So where you stand determines what you see. And it also determines how you see it. So we can pretty much examine, we can answer that question of where we stand by what we see. May God help us to be able to say, upon these rocks, I stand. Just like Joshua, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. No matter where anybody else is standing upon this rock, I will serve. Where are you standing today? Brother Eric,